What up, my people? This is Big L here, and before we get to the new episode, I just wanted to let you guys know where you can find us on social media. You could download the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, and most podcast apps. You could also check us out on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, at Pulling D's, or at Pulling D's Pod. We also have a YouTube and Discord channel, Pulling D's. Check us on up on there too. We have skits and videos for you guys to enjoy. And if you guys want to contact us through email, our address is pullingdsemails@gmail.com. All right, my people, enjoy the new episode. Peace out. What up, my people? Welcome to a new episode of the Pulling D's Podcast, where we take a trip to Smack City and talk about some pop culture right afterwards. I'm your host, Big L. With me, as always,
it's Fred Diablo.
And it's me, DJ Ernie B.
And we got a lot to talk about today, because we finally saw a lot of things we wanted to see. All three of us, so we're able to talk about stuff now. But first, to get us a little riled up, the writer's strike is gone, but it seems like Hollywood still doesn't have any good ideas, because they're talking about making The Office reboots. Now, with most reboots, you got to take in consideration they're bringing back the original showrunner, Greg Daniels. He's going to be overseeing this thing. It'll still be faithful in a way to the vibe of the original Office. This is the same guy who created the U.S. version of the Office. But I'm kind of a little iffy about it. What do you guys think?
Who wants to go first?
Go ahead, Fred.
All right. I'm not too mad about this because when I was thinking reboot, I was thinking a complete remake, like someone else playing Jim, someone else playing Pam, someone else playing Michael.
Oh.
If it's just new characters, sure. I probably won't watch it. It probably will fail, I think. That's how these things usually go. But it might be good.
Yeah. Like, I feel that it's going to be... Okay, I said this to you guys. I'm going to say it. Okay. So after Mindy Kaling's comments about how it's like she wouldn't even show her kids the original show.
Really?
Like it makes it, yeah, she said that. Like,
I called cap on that, by the way, but I'm going to let you finish.
Well, maybe from what I know she said or whatever, it makes me think that there's just going to be a new wave of thinking how to format the show. Yeah, because the part of the show, I don't know, it's not that the boss has to be perverted or inappropriate or whatever, but it was the idea of this is the dynamic of this guy's being this way, and it's very awkward and weird. And then it was also the time period. It was fun to make fun of that at the time. So now that we know that this is like a legit thing, there are bosses like that, now it's weird to make that as a joke. So something's gonna be different about it, and it's just not gonna land. That's what I'm predicting.
First, let me talk about that Min and Kaling thing, because I'm like, I think that's just her being her brand. Oh, I'm just woke person now, or whatever.
Yeah.
Because if honestly, like The Office wasn't really that controversial. The first season, I gotta say the first season, like, yeah, they were taking things that was out there, but there wasn't really anything that you can't say now. The only thing I could think of that's like on thin ice is the cookie. You want the cookie?
Yeah, sure. That's probably why.
Yeah. I'm like, since it involved her. She's like, oh, maybe this is racist.
Yeah.
But wasn't that the whole point?
That's the whole point of the scene. Whole
story. That was the whole point of the scene. So I'm thinking this whole, like, oh, this The Office is like this, you know, raunchy show, but looking back at it, it's like, all right, it's a sitcom. It's not really that OD. Whoa. I see more crazy takes on It's Always Sunny than on All This. Right. Yeah. And that's just still on the air. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm like, every time when people say, oh, they can't make it now, I'm like, yeah, you can. You just got to be like smart about it and make it new, make it more modern or whatever. Because there's mad young kids that still watch The Office because of the cringe culture.
as they call it nowadays. Michael was the perfect example of that. That's how they view older people. They view people like Michael Scott.
To make Michael Scott so funny, the cringe, the cringiness of him.
Yeah,
exactly. Like he's a cringy character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you like you're laughing, but you feel uncomfortable at the same time. Like, what is this guy doing? But yeah, so I'm like,
So probably modernize it. Like the office would be like an office for an app instead of like a paper company.
Yeah, because like, paper companies are non-existent anymore. Probably
exactly.
Who's another? Who's using paper still?
They exist. Printers, copiers.
Yeah.
But it's not the thing to like it was before.
Oh, not like before, but
you're not gonna have a company sustaining itself just on selling papers. Mm-mm. Like even with the original office, they had to sell printers at the end. Because they realized it just couldn't be about paper.
Yeah.
Which is why Pam's even worse of a person. She rather let Jim stay in a dead end job that wasn't about to exist in a couple of years instead of letting him start his own business.
Yeah.
Which actually succeeded. And they're probably millionaires in Austin, Texas right now. No thanks to Pam Beasley at all.
And we might find out because of this new office show.
Oh, yeah. Daryl was already fucking hopping in limos and shit like that in the season the series finale. So what was it?
Athlete.
Yeah. But Jim missed the meeting, so it became Athlete. Jim missed that meeting because of Pam. Pam didn't let Jim follow his dreams.
Yeah.
And that was messed up.
Yeah, they ruined Pam.
They ruined Pam last season for some reason.
Yeah.
And it's just not us being misogynistic. It's just like, I don't know, it was like something about that last season, man. Bitter taste in my mouth. That is to the point that I don't even watch it anymore.
Yeah. Only that one last episode or whatever, like, it's like, just, that's it. Because it ends.
Yeah.
Like, little, like, scenes of good old days and just a nice little period at the end. But
yeah.
It is true. That last season is almost unbearable to watch.
Yeah, like all this shit going on, and you're like, why? And
any episodes with that boom mic guy, I skip.
That last season, yeah.
Yeah, it was that last season, because they just need to give these people drama.
I know people, I say this all the time, and I know people hate him, but Robert California is still a great character.
Yeah, I love Robert California.
Yeah,
I understand the hatred for Robert California. I really don't. Like he fit right in. Like he was perfect. Mm-hmm. Like he was like the eccentric boss that you don't know like what he's gonna do and shit.
Even the episode with his son was great. His son was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to see like the growth of Robert California from the divorce.
Yeah.
Maybe he becomes a likable person towards the end.
Yeah. I wish they were able to get Will Ferrell as the boss.
Those three episodes, though, it's almost weirdly perfect. There's just those three episodes.
Yeah, I think they just would have recycled those three episodes like the entire time he was on the show.
Yeah. Because every episode, he's a different guy.
That's true.
You realize it. He's a different person in every episode for some reason. You've seen the video where he's like somebody, like
they put in the blue balls. Yeah. Yeah.
He's going like this to
Phyllis.
Trust me, Phyllis.
So you think the new office will take place like in an app store or some shit? Or?
That's what I think. Like an app, like some floor in some Manhattan building, where they like run an app that does like something weird, whatever it does. And it's just like the boss there is fucking weird.
Yeah.
And then there's the love story. Look at the typical bullshit.
Will there be a Dwight?
Yeah, there will be that whole thing. There'll be a Dwight who's just like the kiss ass of the boss.
Yeah, they're going to have those rules filled out, which I'm not looking forward to.
Yeah.
Let's just switch it up, man. People are just expecting it too. it's bad when people expect shit and then it happens. You're like, they're not even trying something different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, man. I would like to see. You know what I would like to see get given a chance? Like the white spinoff about him and his, the beef farm with his two his brother and sister. Like, I would like to see where that would have gone to, but it was just a weird episode for some reason.
Yeah, it was too weird.
Yeah. Like, maybe they would just introduce, like, his brother and sister slowly into the show. And I think that was, like, the problem, like, with The Office the last couple of seasons was that they were trying to find another Michael, and it just should have just focused on, like, the workers in the office. Yeah. Give everybody, like, their own storyline, like, to go through.
That's why it got a little better after Andy became boss instead of Michael California.
Yeah. Robert California. No, but he put Andy as the manager.
Boss, yeah.
Robert California? No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did. All right, he got hired for the job. He came in, he was like, fuck this. He convinced Joe to make him the CEO, and he put Andy as the regional manager.
Yeah.
Oh.
That was like the first episode of the seventh season.
The eighth season. I think it's the eighth season.
They ran for 9 seasons?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. It was the first episode of the 8th season.
Joe is Kathy Bates. She owns Saber.
Mm. Yeah, they threw a lot in, like, the first scene of the first episode of the new season.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, all right, he got the job, but he's like, fuck this, I want to be this camera CEO, and they put Andy in as the regional manager.
Mm, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Okay. And then, they were trying to make Andy a thing.
Yeah, they just recycled Michael's shit.
I can't believe I forgot about that shit.
Yeah. And then they forced all these fucking storylines on us about Andy and Aaron. And that shit didn't lead up to anything.
I hated Andy at the end.
Yeah, because they just made him back into a jerk after they tried to make us like him.
Yeah.
After they forced us like to be like, oh, Andy's like a good guy. And then they just made him a jerk at last after season. After
he ran all the way to Aaron... to Florida to get her back, and he goes all to this crap, and then he leaves with his brother and ditches Aaron.
Yeah, I skip all those fucking episodes.
My god, I forgot about
that. Like any Andy and Aaron episodes, Aaron and Pete. Skip.
Oh, Plop.
To this day, I got Plop. Yep.
Yeah, Plop. Fuck Plop.
hashtag fuck Plop.
Fuck Plop.
Dwight Jr.
Yeah, Dwight Jr., I can't stand that actor. I'm sorry. I can't stand
You don't like Hot Tub Time Machine?
I like Hot Tub Time Machine, but there's something about he has a punchable face. You know what I mean? Yes. He's that, like, you can't act like that and look like that, bro. So, you look like a nerd. You need to play a nerd. I'm not accepting this.
Don't try to be the cool nerd.
Yeah, don't try to be a cool nerd. That's not, no. Get out of here.
Damn, DJ Ernie B with the bias.
Ernie rips it into nerds.
Nerd!
You can't be a cool nerd!
That's non-existent. It's not possible.
That's not your turn! Everybody around is like, Ernie, chill. He's just a guy. He just looks like that. He has glasses. Chill.
Yeah.
We just like him. He got me cool! He got me cool! That was Ernie in high school.
Ernie gets, I don't like the look of his jib.
He's short. He has glasses. He's a nerd. He can be
called. I hated him less than Plop.
Oh, yeah. That's fake Jim. That's a different story.
Oh, man. Then they gave the nerd the hot girl at the end. The co-worker, Dakota Johnson.
Oh.
Yeah, remember she's just in the last episode because she's like one of the new people and shit. Then that's Skinny Stanley.
Oh, yeah, they saw Stanley cheating on his wife.
Yeah.
That was the interns. No, I said they had, at the end of the episode, they had like Skinny Stanley, like the new guy.
Oh,
like
He was the gay guy from the first pilot episode of It's Always Sunny.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy.
Yeah.
I gotta binge it again.
The Office?
Yeah. Just the last episodes.
Yeah, it's like they show the new people coming in, Stanley retired.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this, that last episode, or maybe the last two episodes, because I think it's like a double episode finale. But that's like the best ones out of season nine.
Like, the finale was the best. That I remember.
I could do about the fucking episode of Andy going to the American Idol show.
Oh, yeah.
That shit was fucking so horrible. Mm-hmm.
The crybaby. Like, it is what it is now, but yeah, the crybaby viral shit. It is what it is now because of like how that's something that would happen. Like, you feel that now. But at the time, I was just, and watching it now is just still cringe enough that I'm like, I'm good. I don't need to watch this again. but it's something that, like, you're used to now because that's what happens. Like, you get freaking viral videos of people acting the fool.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Shout out to the actor that plays Stanley. He started a Kickstarter for a spinoff about Stanley called Uncle Stanley.
Okay.
The Kickstarter didn't reach its goal. So he returned all the money back to anybody who gave money to the project.
Oh, good for him.
I
would have kept money.
Uncle Stanley, you think that would have worked?
No.
All right, question. Who out of all the office members, who would have a spinoff and would work?
Creed?
I was going to say Creed. Because Creed is so, like, weird that anything would... I think it would work.
Yeah.
Anything would work.
Yo, you have him fucking escape from jail and get a new identity.
That'd be amazing. It would be like Dexter or something, but...
Yeah, but Creed.
Yeah, exactly. And like, or, not winning.
Or Meredith.
Oh, Meredith.
Oh, yeah. Meredith be a good one. Yeah. I'd like to see the life of Meredith.
Now that your head messed up.
It could be her journey into redemption. Trying to set her life straight. Yeah. Fixing her son.
I think it would have been for Meredith. Because at the end, last episode, she talks about how, like, they never, in the documentary, they never show that this whole time she was getting her college degree. That's why she was always drunk and shit. So it should be like a spinoff of that, like her college years.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Just like an old lady being in college.
She has a daughter also, but they never showed her. They only mentioned her, but they never showed her daughter.
Her son was hilarious.
Yeah. It's so weird. It was the same kid throughout the whole years. But it never comes after. He just grew up in front of our eyes.
Yeah. So he was also in It's Always Sunny. He was the... When Charlie, in that first Charlie's season.
Kid,
yeah.
My man always played the kid nobody wanted.
Another good spinoff, obviously, would be a Michael spinoff. Michael and his family.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. Just Michael trying to raise his kids. And his kids, like, seeing him as a dork and him being just like, cringy about it.
Yeah. I could definitely see Michael having a TikTok. Doing the latest dance or some shit.
Oh, my God, that'd be so funny. But, yeah, I would want a Dwight spinoff. After that episode of The Office, I would want a Dwight spinoff.
I would have preferred if they were, like, Amish like him, like he is. Like, the fact that they were still, like, normal, I'm like, I see where you're getting at, and nah.
Yeah.
You would have watched the whole show of the Amish family?
Because it would have been, like, weird, like, the straight-faced nonsense. That's what would be funny. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't know he's being ridiculous, but we all know that he is. But to him, it's normal.
I feel like Dwight can't work for a spinoff because it's too obvious.
Yeah. But it's just like with his brother and sister being like so normal, like you could tell that it's the dynamic is going to be that they're, because also with The Office, what makes it funny also is the fact that Michael is cringe, but like, no one is affected by it. You know what I mean? They are just trying to work. You know what I mean? That's all they're trying to do. They're just trying to get through the day. And Michael's the one that's like weird. So it's like that. So with that in mind, they're keeping that dynamic where it's, oh, Dwight is the weird one and they're like the fish out of water in a sense.
Yeah.
And these normal people are his brother and sister who we'd never, ever heard about. But like we have him now because of this show. So that's why I'm like, that's why it doesn't work. Yeah. If they were weird and they were as a family, like a fish out of water and everyone else is, they do a straight face where everyone else is, who are these people and it's fucking weird.
Yeah.
That I think could work.
True. Yeah, because it's like, it always feels weird when you get dropped off of new characters that were there apparently from the beginning or whatever. Oh, I had this brother and sister all this time. I never mentioned them though, but.
Yeah, exactly.
They were here. So yeah, it gets weird.
Yeah.
Hopefully the reboot's good. I'll give it a chance. I'll watch a couple episodes, see if it's funny or not.
Yep.
I swear to God, it was on a streaming service.
It will. It will be on Peacock or something.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be on Peacock.
Fuck that.
And then they'll try to sell it with the idea that, like, hey, watch The Office and stuff. And so you'll be like, oh, I'm watching The Office. Let me just fucking watch this.
Oh, who was a good post-Michael character? Nate. The guy who Dwight asked to hit the beehive.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The handyman. Yeah. He was a great new character.
Hell yeah.
Nate was a great new character when Dwight picks him up in Home Depot.
Yeah.
And starts speaking to him in Spanish.
No, I speak English. Nate was so funny.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, man. And the Mexicans, we don't go in with that guy.
one of them never returned.
Yeah, no, everybody who goes with him never returns. Hey, he just drops him off to the next state or whatever. Now, Dwight and Nate running a business together. I like to see
that. Oh, that would be funny.
With the beef farm. Nate and Moe's. Yeah.
Oh, with Moe's?
Yes. No, Nate and Moe's are best friends.
Oh. That'd be great.
Yeah, I never understood how Dwight was the father of Angela's baby. I never got that timing. So weird. But it just, like, it happened off screen. Because, like, I'm watching it, like, the other day. It's okay. It wasn't, like, in any of the episodes at the time to make any sense. So I guess after they got married, they were still messing around, which was fucking made no sense at all, but it happens.
Yeah.
Hey, like I said, the last couple of seasons were straight trash.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think that's it for the Office talk. Unless you guys got anything else to add to it, are you guys gonna be watching, checking it out?
I'll check it out, of course.
I'll wait for reviews.
Yeah, I feel like the first episode is gonna be like, ugh.
Yeah,
that's just how I feel. But who knows? Maybe like it'll get better.
Yeah.
Maybe the first episode will be amazing. Who knows?
You never know. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
But I think we all saw something we actually did, and that will happen to be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem.
Ew.
For our podcast viewers at home, Ernie is wearing the video game select screen of the Ninja Turtles arcade game on his shirt today.
He has Mikey selected.
Yeah, so we're pretty excited to talk about this movie. What are your thoughts about this movie, guys? Because I actually enjoyed it a lot. But I have one issue with it, but I'll let you guys go first.
Want me to start? I'll start. Yeah. I have like a handful of little issues, but for the most part, I really liked it. I'm not going to say I loved it. It's not the best. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was great. The little changes that I did see were like didn't bother me enough for me to hate it. And I started thinking about it recently. It's because Seth Rogen punched it in our heads that like, they're teenagers. Like, you gotta understand, they're teenagers. So like, it reminded me a lot about the old school like cartoon where it's like super like wacky and the idea of they want to be amongst the world and like they don't want to be in the sewers all the time and stuff like that. Like, that was the whole thing, that like they wanted to live amongst humans. So the fact that it was like that, like You can't take it as, oh, it's an adult movie. It's for kids. It's for teenagers. So keeping it that for with that mentality, like, it was perfect, you know? Was it my favorite? No, but I really liked it.
Yeah, me personally, I think this is my favorite Ninja Turtles movie. Oh. Like, I like it better than the original. Oh. Like, they both have their flaws, but I think this one was the most accurate Ninja Turtle, the most accurate Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. Oh. A movie about turtles who are teenagers. This is super accurate.
Yeah.
And I love the jokes. They were really funny. Yeah. The animation was amazing. So this is the best Splinter out of any Ninja Turtles movie or TV show. Jackie Chan killed it. Splinter was a standout character.
Yeah, he was.
The villain Superfly was great. Ice Cube did a great job as that villain. When he first meets the turtles, I still can't get over that. That was a hilarious scene. Oh! Yeah, so turtles this!
Yeah, that was definitely a great scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were like great moments.
Yeah, like I love the animation of the, like, that was like some of the best fighting scenes I've seen in an animated movie. It was up there. It really gave me that Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, like the fight scenes from those movies. Yeah, it had that energy. The voice actors was great. Were great to find kid actors that actually could act well. And they did a great job, I think. And I felt like they were brothers.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be kind of, when I heard about them learning karate from videos and YouTube and shit like that, I was going to be like, it didn't bug me as much as I thought it would. You know what I mean? When I saw it, I was like, it makes sense.
You know what? It didn't bug me.
What?
It didn't bug me. I would have hated that idea, but I liked it. I thought it was funny because of the fact that they were watching Jackie Chan movies. So I was like, oh, this is great. I loved that little Easter egg in a sense. That I felt like, no, that's, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, it was like, it's... Because at a point, it's like, all right, what was the original story? Like, oh, it was like Splinter was a man and he mutated into a rat in the comics. In the cartoon, it was just a rat that just mutated into humanoid, whatever.
No, it was in the cartoon, it was the other
pet
way.
Rat. It was the pet rat of the Kung Fu fighter.
In the movies, it was a pet rat.
Yeah.
Oh, the cartoon was the human, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the cartoons, it doesn't make sense. That's the thing, because he touches the ooze, and he's like, the reason why I became a rat was because I hung out with a bunch of rats. So it makes me, because the thing is, the cartoon didn't want to show that in the comic and in the movies, like, he, Hamato Yoshi, was a karate master, and he had a feud with Orokunagi in the comics, and then the love triangle, blah blah blah, he gets killed, and then his pet rat, like, it's mutated, because that's how it's supposed to be. I mean, if you touch the ooze, you become a mutant version of yourself, not like you become an animal. That's how come Bebop and Rocksteady aren't in the original movie, because they're not in the original story, because that doesn't make sense, that if that there'll be humans that turn into an animal. Mm. That's the whole thing about it.
Okay.
So it's like, Splinter would, in the cartoon, if in reality he would turn into a, with that rule that he says, where he's, oh, I was hanging out with rats, that's how come I turned into a rat. With that rule, the second that he touched the turtles, he would have turned into a turtle.
Yeah.
True.
That's
cartoons
and other shit, you know?
Yeah, so like, we all agree that you may have had a better origin story for Splinter.
At least between the cartoon and the movie,
Okay. Yes. Yeah, so I was like, all right. That was good. The fucking, all the mutants were fucking hilarious. Paul Rudd as Gecko.
Oh my God. Mondo Gecko was another standout character. He was hilarious. Oh my
God. I like your vibe.
Yeah.
When they were asking me if he's okay to drive. No.
Oh man. Or like the turtles were just going through every slang and we're outside Europe. Let me get a big egg and cheese. Look, he was like, yo, Aki, let me get a big egg and cheese. Somebody was like, yo, that scene was perfect to let New Yorkers out to let New Yorkers know how stupid they sound.
It's true.
But like, damn it, that hurts. But it's true.
And I love also like how like Splinter kept talking about humans milking them or whatever, like they wouldn't want to milk them. Yeah. And then like, at the end they're being
milked. They're like, oh, he was right.
Yes, yeah,
it was so right.
Funny.
Oh my god. But yeah, the only thing I didn't was that all their rogues galleries became good.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah. Gonna fight even now? Bebop and Rocksteady.
Yeah, what's gonna happen now?
I think it's okay, recruited by Shredder and just follow him and still fight the turtles.
But yeah, they made a whole point of just having mutants being accepted. Now they're just gonna become villains again.
Yeah. It could happen.
I think from what I heard, it's like something that the next sequel is gonna be based on Shredder. Spoiler alert, like Shredder's in the post credit scene. They show a silhouette of him. They're going to show that whole dynamic, but it's something to do with like, starting the whole Foot Clan. So it's going to be a thing, I think, with the school and the where they're at. And there's going to be people who are starting to be recruited into the Foot Clan. That's what I'm assuming is happening.
Yeah.
So but, you think he's going to recruit like kids from the high school?
I think so, yeah. It's going to be that kind of thing. And I don't know if I heard that or I'm just speculating it from like my head. But I'm just like saying this off the top of my head or whatever, that I'm thinking that I heard this somewhere. But I know it has to do with something with Shredder starting his the Foot Clan. But who knows? It's going to be the whole thing with Karai and stuff like that. I feel like I heard this somewhere. I don't know if I'm like thinking of something else. But yeah.
Ernie's writing the script for the second movie.
Because you know what it was? This is what it was. I saw, thinking about it now, I remember. Before I saw the movie, I saw something where it was like these promotional posters. And there was like, it was like a thing where they were jumping off of a building. These buildings in the background, and in the corner of one of the buildings, silhouettes of through the building windows, silhouettes of Casey Jones, Shredder, and Splinter. So it's like something to do with that that's making me think that I already knew something about Shredder starting the Foot Clan or something like that. But I don't know. I guess I'm just making this up now. But yeah.
That'll be a crazy sequel idea, though.
Yeah, I think so.
So it's pretty obvious that the evil CEO is Kang, right?
Yeah, so, Krang, yeah.
Krang, yeah, Krang.
Because her name is something Ultron, and Krang is an Ultron. Yeah. There are, you know what I mean, like that creature that he is. Whether you know, what I mean? There's a bunch of them. They're all aliens, and they're called Ultrons. They're from Dimension X.
Dimension X.
Yeah, all right. You have Maya Rudolph voicing her, and I'm like, all right, I can see her as a brain. The voice you have for the brain already.
And Krang, yeah. That'd be dope. Yeah,
it's crying. That'd be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would.
Damn.
So another like, weird little complaint I had, and it's not that big of a deal, but because I know that the idea, bear with me, the way humans look, like the way they were drawn.
Yeah, it was little.
Like weird little, like this place was like here, and this thing was like down here.
It was a little more, it was like a Nightmare Before Christmas type of thing. Like,
yeah.
I get that, like with the concept was that like it was like watching somebody's like sketchbook. So I get that part, but it's just I feel like everybody was normal, like the turtles and even April was like symmetrical in a sense, but everyone else was like asymmetrical in a weird way. Their heads were like square here and then like flat here, and it bothered me. I don't know. I know it's, you know, nitpicking, but that was just, like, a little, like, weird thing that I was like, I don't like this.
I just saw that as the art style.
Yeah. It's not like I was, oh, I can't stand this movie because of that. It was okay. But, like, it was just like, ugh, they look weirdly ugly and weird. Like, the mutants felt like I get it because they're mutants. But, like, humans that are supposed to look, like, normal or whatever, they didn't look normal. They look like more mutants than the mutants.
Yeah, it was weird. But I'm just like saying it was just the animation style.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they did it like that so it'll be believable that the Ninja Turtles would go to high school with normal humans. Maybe. Like, they're all weird looking and shit. Who knows?
Yeah.
I always wondered how they make it through high school looking like that.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what I'm saying is it's very inspired by the like old school cartoon where it's just like super wacky and weird. That is.
Yeah, that's true.
In that first episode, like they show like some old grandma like walking, and then like she's about to get run over or something, and she like takes out like fucking machine gun.
Oh yeah.
It was like, weird.
Yeah, that's just etched in my mind, bro. That was like that was mad random. As a kid, you don't think nothing of it, but now like, what the fuck was that about? What's going on there, grandma with the gat?
Yeah.
So yeah, I would like to see Shredder the next. Oh, well, obviously Shredder's gonna be the next one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That'll be interesting to look forward to. Have his little Cobra Kai Foot Clan from like high school kids fighting Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
You're not going to have a Hulk character in there with some kid with a mohawk that looks mad weird.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Definitely a mohawk.
He'll look like the character from A Nightmare Before Christmas, but in human form. Like all Nike and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. But yeah, I would like to see that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Action.
And they're probably going to introduce Casey Jones also in the next one.
Yeah. I think.
So he's definitely going to be a teenager, right?
Yeah.
He has to be a teenager.
Yeah. He's gonna thinking about it now, it could be a thing where it's a thing amongst the school where all these like kids are disappearing in a sense and they're all joining the Foot Clan and shit. And then it was like Casey Jones was like just like that rebel kid that's just like, you know what, I'm gonna take matters into my own hands.
Yeah, a rebel kid who's like in the hockey team in the high school.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Oh shit. DJ Ernie B with the fan fiction, bro. Let's go.
That's brother, man.
That'd be dope. That'd be dope.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All right. So Ninja Turtles, we all liked it. It was a great film. And we're going to keep it going with another great anime series this time.
Oh.
And that's since Fred Diablo finally saw it. It's My Adventures with Superman. Sure. And I'm going to have Fred Diablo lead it off since it's freshly in his head. So he could talk about it.
Oh, yeah. So I love this. The dynamic between Superman, Lois, and Jimmy is great. I love that at the end they tease Zod.
Yeah, yeah.
And throughout the series, Superman had those flashes of like, the invasion of the Kryptonians and his planet. Mm-hmm. If those are Kryptonians, I don't know what the hell's going on with those robots or whatever.
Yeah.
But overall, I love it. Every episode was good. The Misopitalik episode was great. How he showed all the different Supermans and stuff. That was so cool.
Yeah, that was like a dope scene right there.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. Ernie?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, I just really like the idea that he's learning his powers and he's under. Wait, who is this guy? Who is Zod? What is happening?
Yeah.
He doesn't like. So much things to like unravel in a sense. Like you're just like waiting for. Like you want to see more. At the end, I was like, yeah, because there's so much more shit that's happening. And then, especially the last time we talked about it, it was like, how you call it? There was a reason why that he was being like hunted and shit. And it was like, it was just like a great story, a great kind of like introduction to him and stuff. That episode with where you see all the like different Loises and stuff like that. I think that was the best episode, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. The Council of Loises.
Yeah. With that and like they show all the like Supermans and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like it's just, I don't know. It got me excited to watch more.
Yeah. No, for sure. Because it was like, that's the thing, like, I was a real big fan of from the series. Is everything feels fresh and new, even though we've seen this story, like, a billion times already.
Yeah.
With Superman and Lois Lane, but it still was, like, enough stuff. Like, we don't get the Superman that knows about his heritage, where he came from. Like, he's still trying to figure that out. So that's that little suspense there, like, for the audience to see, oh, shit, this is not a perfect Superman. He's learning as he goes.
Yeah.
Which is something we really haven't seen Superman do, really, in any of the shows or movies. So that's something new to the character, which a character which people were complaining about not having any ideas to do with him or what to do with his powers or whatnot. You know, he's not fully powered in this, so there's like this anticipation of him getting hurt or getting beaten by one of these characters, which, like, Superman doesn't have like the greatest rogue gallery, but they made him interesting in the show.
Yeah.
Like, you know, making Parasite Dr. Tomorrow with Ivo Tomorrow, whatever. Combining those two characters, because he's not really popular as Batman's, but, you know, in this, it makes sense for this show. Like, why so? Everything's so mecha. Everybody has a mecha suit. Everybody had, you know, all this technology involved, because you had this invasion from Krypton, which didn't happen, but the technology was left over. So, of course, the government's going to experiment on it and, you know, have people gain these powers so they could be prepared for another invasion or whatnot. The whole aspect of the story made the show more interesting.
Yeah.
You wouldn't expect to see Deathstroke in a Superman cartoon, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
That was like a little nice introduction. It was a nice surprise.
Yeah.
Like, you have Amanda Waller there in the beginnings of her career before Suicide Squad or whatnot. And you see how she gains that power. Even with Lois's dad reveal in the last episode, you're like, yo, I didn't even see that coming. I didn't even think about that being her dad when it happened. And it made sense, you know what I
mean? Yeah.
So it was interesting to see that dynamic play out between her and her dad, and why she has these trust issues, and why she felt a certain way when Clark was lying about it, his secret identity, whatever. And side note, I was really getting tired of comparing Lois from Invincible with the whole shit about him not telling who he was or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just tired of that whole argument about superheroes, like, having a secret identity really doesn't, like, it shouldn't be that big of a deal. So I'm glad they got that part of the story out of the way, like Lois not knowing he's Superman, or having Jimmy know this whole time, which made sense because he was his fucking roommate. Yeah. You know, if you're living with Superman, he's bound, especially this guy as clumsy as he has control of his powers. Like, that was a great line when Jimmy's like, oh, Ben, no. You broke our door the first day. And he said it was because you sneezed or something. It was like something like that. And it was just like, man, funny because, yo, this dude's a horrible liar at that. So it was just funny to see that side of Superman that doesn't really get shown that much.
Yeah. And
like, these guys feel like they're friends, and they were like friends before him and Lois got together. And Jimmy Olsen really feels like Superman's best friend because he is in this show.
Yeah.
And it's just mad weird. It's like pretty much a Superman anime. Mm-hmm. Like, it had a freaking brain in the gorilla. And it was just like,
yeah, the whole time I was like, is that supposed to be Gorilla Grodd? But it's not.
No, it was like another of the many gorilla characters that DC has for some reason.
Gotcha.
It was like, okay. I think he's, I'm not sure, something French, I think. But gotcha. Yeah, he's one of the many eight characters in the DC universe. But yeah, I was also excited to, we're getting Zod next season. Brainiac is going to be in that too, so that, I want to see how they're connected to Clark and what happens to Krypton, if they had anything to do with it, what's going on with Zod. Maybe Zod's everybody, Brainiac's robots or whatever. So I can't wait for that season. I was upset people were complaining about the suits that Zod and Brainiac were wearing because they couldn't tell who was who. I'm like, come on, dogs. You see the three dots, the Brainiac dots. That's Brainiac.
I noticed the Brainiac dots.
Oh, yeah. He had, the robot had it on top when he was talking to Zod at the end. I was like, oh, that's Brainiac.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, okay, that was cool.
Oh, cool.
So, see how that plays out. We're probably going to get some Army Man and fucking Mark shit when Zod beats up Clark, because Zod's been a soldier his whole life, so
yeah,
that should be an interesting fight.
Sure.
See if Superman can survive that. But yeah, it's a great show, man. I hope they just keep it going. This is a great cartoon. I hope James Gunn doesn't touch this at all.
Yeah, he doesn't need to.
Yeah, just let it rock. Let it be his own thing. It's part of the multiverse.
Yeah.
Let it be. he already let us know that he's keeping John Cena as Peacemaker, Amanda Waller, forgot the actress's name.
Viola
Davis, yeah, she's going to be back. And Blue Beetle, they're all part of the new DCU, but none of their stories were canon. Yeah, everything after Superman is going to be canon.
Yeah.
But I guess still going to be around. And he also included a vigilante. He was like the fourth one he included, so we're getting more vigilante people.
He's a great character.
Yeah.
He was funny.
Yeah, it's great. But yeah, My Adventures with Superman, great show.
Yeah.
Can't wait for season two. I'm pretty sure we're going to talk about it more in future episodes because stuff we really didn't touch upon, but I'm sorry, a bird just fucking hit my window right now. Scared the shit out of me. I thought someone was about to break in.
So it was a bird, it could be a bat.
Or an owl.
Nah, it's just a bird.
An American owl. A bald American owl.
No, I really would have been like, what the fuck? I really would have freaked out because I'd be like, fucking owl? Oh, shit. I forgot where I was going with the Superman shit, but yeah, let's go on to the last topic of the podcast, which is going to be the Netflix documentary Wrestlers. Yeah. DJ Ernie B put us onto it. I saw a couple episodes, but I'm going to let DJ Ernie B explain himself. I'll jump in once in a while.
So it's a documentary series of Ohio Valley Wrestling. And which is weird because it's based in Louisville, Kentucky.
They're in Kentucky, but it's Ohio.
Yeah. But it seems like it was, you know, I don't know if they were always in Louisville, Kentucky, but it used to be the developmental organization for WWE. So, like, it's famous for bringing in what I call the Ruthless Aggression guys, which is Batista, Randy Orton, Brock Lesnar, John Cena. So, those guys all started there and they became who they are or whatever at WWE. It's following these group of like misfit wrestlers. They're doing their own thing because Al Snow, a legendary wrestler that we all knew from like the Attitude Era, he walked around with that mannequin head. Yeah. And he's the owner, or co-owner, and he's running the show. But then there's like these guys who like, there's one guy specifically who is like a part owner that he's like trying to make, hey, we're losing money. Like, we got to make money. So we're doing this whole thing and blah, blah, blah. Like, it basically is leading up to a pay-per-view where they're, like, trying to get people to buy the pay-per-view, get more excited about the show. They're trying to expand. And you meet all these, like, wacky wrestlers that, like, you never heard of, but maybe you did hear of. Like, I specifically never heard of any of those guys.
Me either.
But, yeah, but there's, like, a lot of, like, interesting characters. There's two specific characters that, like, Megan, who is not a wrestling fan, but she was super like into, she was just like, these characters are like, this storyline for whatever reason like really hit her. I don't want to spoil stuff, that's why I'm like not talking about who it was, but it's a crazy kind of dynamic of these two people and how they know each other personally and how it related to what they were doing in the ring. And in a weird way, I feel like, because wrestling is, there's a suspense of belief, you know what I mean? There's a part of you that feels like, is this real? When it's good, there's a part of you that's like, I don't know if this is real or not. Yeah. And you go, this could be real. I feel like the documentary itself kayfaped certain things to make us like, it basically did a great job in sucking us into the story and the backstage stuff. Take, for instance, that one dynamic of that feud between two people. When you're watching the show, like the wrestling show, you would just be like, oh, this is crazy. This is blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. They're fighting. That's pretty crazy. But the fact that you now know the backstory of it, of how it led to that, it's like it matters more and it's deeper. Like Megan and even me, there's one specific episode that like we were like in tears. It was like such a crazy ass like ending to a story. That like it was such a redemption story of such a, I don't know, it just sucked us in that we were just like, Megan was like, yo, I love this character. She might be my favorite wrestler.
Yeah. Oh,
so it's like, yeah, like that's Megan who doesn't watch wrestling, of course. Yeah, she was saying that. But she really connected with this character that she just was like this was amazing. I love the way they told the story. And they told she loved the way the documentary was made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it reminded me, you remember the trees, My True Life? And it did like, True Life, and they're like, I'm a pro wrestler.
Yeah.
They had like Triple H in China, and they had independent wrestlers in the show too. So you saw like different aspects of the wrestling like business. You saw like the mainstream stuff that everybody knows and watches. And then you had independent guys, which was like, yo, they showed you like this shit was in all cracked up at. You really have to love wrestling.
Yeah.
To be like an independent wrestler, to be like, to go like making $50 a match or whatever, and then just doing it again every night.
That's if you're lucky, yeah.
Yeah, like, if you're lucky. You're like,
yo, sometimes it's just, yo, we have a place you can sleep. That's how we're paying you.
Yeah, like,
you can just sleep under the ring and shit. Stuff like that, yeah.
So, yeah, this documentary, it definitely reminded me of that episode of True Life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what, like, it's really interesting, and just to see these dudes, they try to, their goal was getting 500 pay-per-view views.
Yeah.
And they only managed to get 75. And that shit was so heartbreaking because it was like, damn.
Yeah.
Nobody is interested in watching these guys. Nobody wants to see this shit. For you to be a wrestler, like a promoter of this shit, and like, damn.
Yeah. It's because their show is in some like weird public access
app
or something.
Like it's a Christian network type of shit.
I'm like, yeah. Unless you are super digging for it, like you're not gonna find it.
Yeah, it's bad hard to find. But it's like, and I'm like, I never understood, like, why don't you have your own website and just have people watch it from there? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's the shit with Al Snow. Sometimes I'm like, yo, this dude's too old school.
Yeah.
Like, you have to get with the times. Like, especially if you don't have your own website, you could stream your own shows. You don't have to depend on like a TV station or whatever. Or maybe like mad people are just poor in the South and they can't afford like fucking internet or whatever. That could be a problem too.
Yeah. I see it like the way you said, how it's like he's just super old school and he's thinking it in that sense, where it's like, yeah, he's trying to do what WWE does thing. And that's why this guy was just like, yo, I'm losing money. It was the one thing that he was like, I made this little thing where it's like you brought this like local news team, like new local team member of some team or whatever. So like it worked for like that town, and Arsenal was like, yo, this is like what we call a cheap pop. And it was like, yeah, but like it worked for that town. Like this is something that's okay to do because, you know what I mean? You guys are not something that's, you're not on pay-per-view. You're not on a major network.
Yeah.
So that millions of people are not watching this. This is just that one crowd of like 100 people watching that one little thing that works for that one little place.
Yeah, like it's not like a mainstream thing.
So yeah.
Especially you see the wrestlers they have with Cena, and like they really don't have anybody in that roster like that.
Yeah. They had this one guy that was there, and like I don't even remember his name, but he was like super weird. He had, the whole time in the he's being interviewed, he's in his car. Do you remember the guy? And like he's in his car, looking out the window, like just talking. That guy, like
man, white trash.
Yeah, like he's like basically throughout the whole, you know, series, he's like jealous of his girlfriend, who's like getting a little like push. And as you start really realizing, because I started thinking about it, I'm like, you're getting a push in OVW. Does it matter?
Like, you know? Like she's getting a couple $100 more than you. That's
And then on top of that, like, she gets her character. She understands her character. She comes up with stories for her character, and it works. There's a part in the thing where he said that, because they ask him, like, what is your character? And he's like, Al always gets at me because he says, if you can't explain your character in 5 words or less.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't know your character. And I'm like, hitman for hire, this and that. Like, it was a bunch of weird shit that it was like, yo, you don't even understand your own character, bro.
Yeah.
He comes out with fucking biker armor on. You know what I mean? Motorbiker armor, which is like the armor that's like this big, like from. So like, you look like you have a kid like backpack on. What are you talking about?
You look like a fucked up Mad Max character.
Yeah, you look so indie wrestler right now. Like you're not even trying.
Bad cosplay.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, get out of here. Why are you being mad? And like this girl who's doing her job, that she knows what she's doing. So it's the way that it was just like ridiculous. But like I said, it's just the characters itself. Like I personally like that. I think that would be a good WWE guy is that, of course, that Shiva guy. Which is like there, but for some reason he was in the WWE developmental and they fired him. They like go, they let him go. Who knows? It was just like he just wasn't, just didn't need him.
Yeah,
but he looks like someone who could be sellable. Yeah, that's a big wrestler guy, and I like that guy, Mr. Pictacular.
Yeah, like he could. I could see him being a good heel somewhere.
He like runs. People. He like walks around with that hoverboard shit.
Yeah, he so was around. Like, hoverboard because you don't want to burn calories by walking. So he's just on the hoverboard the whole time. He's on the show.
Yeah, so it's like that could work right now. That would work perfectly in NXT.
You just have him on his fucking hoverboard at all times. Except when he wrestles. Mm-hmm. Wrestler on the documentary.
I would say, to be honest with you, because it's really focused on that girl, Haley.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think, you know, there's a level of like, you root for her. You know, but at the same time, like she needs to get her shit together because she's super, you know, just ghetto pothead that just doesn't want to listen to rules in a sense.
Yeah, having guns pulled on your kid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she said some wild stories that was.
I was like, God damn! This is the first episode talking about there's a gun in your kid's face.
Oh my god!
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you gotta watch it, Freddy.
I need to watch this.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's some Dark Side of the Ring shit.
Yeah.
It's like some crazy stuff on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's even more in depth than Dark Side of the Ring. I feel like, I think after that last episode, I think I was telling Freddie about it. The last episode of from the latest season with Marty Jannetty, they twisted certain stories around that I was just like, whoa, I don't know how to feel about this. Like, the fact that they twisted certain things around that made me think, what else did they like kind of change? Like, how am I supposed to take this? I was like, this really happened. If I know something really happened, and then they changed it.
What was it that it changed?
Like, when they talked about when they first got fired. So, Marty Jannetty was part of the Rockers, right? With Shawn Michaels. So, when they first came in, they were there for 2 weeks, and there was some, you know, they had that altercation with, I forgot the guy's name. It's something Funk, but he's not Terry Funk. It was some other guy. Like Black Jack Funk or whatever his name was, Billy Jack Funk, whatever his name was. Mm. It was something because it was like a part, they were at some bar and the whole point was like they were supposed to be there because they're partiers. So they were like, somebody told them like, yo, just go and say hi to people and just be cool. So they were being cool. And then this guy comes out and he's, oh, you guys are partiers, blah, blah, blah. So he like grabbed the glass. He started eating the glass or something like that. And like Sean, he's, oh, whatever, you want to do this? So he grabbed a beer bottle, smacked it over his head, you know, broke it over his head. And then they got up and left. They were just like, you fuck this. And then the rumor was the next day that, like, oh, these guys fucking came in and started throwing bottles and blah, 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 this and that. And then they eventually got the... Because I heard this story a million times. I wasn't there, of course, but I heard this story a million times that the truth.
Yeah.
They eventually get the meeting with Vince McMahon, and Vince McMahon fires them. In this show, they were like, yeah, they were a partier. They were a partier, so this guy breaks the glass of his thing. He bites the glass. Fucking Sean grabs the thing, and then they get into a huge bar fight. And everybody's throwing glass and throwing tables and blah, blah, blah. And it was like, yo, what the hell? It was like, did you just like mess up? They like twisted the story around.
So they added a bar fighter to it to make it seem like it's more badass or whatever.
Or they edited it wrong, where they were like, oh, they cut off the part where they show that they didn't have a bar fight. It was a rumor that they started a bar fight because they were trying to, basically, everybody was trying to get them fired. Because they were like, the guy was trying to get him fired to, you know, start his shit. He was just like, started shit with them, started that, oh no, these guys were fucking throwing glasses, blah, blah, blah. And then it became like playing telephone. Vince was eventually like, I gotta let you guys go. You guys are troublemakers. Mm-hmm. And then the other shit was like something with that fight that they had in the hotel room. Like they didn't show that it was like they just showed that like they had a fight and Marty was beating the shit out of Sean. And it's like, maybe that did happen, but. They left out that Roddy Piper was the one that started the fight.
Oh, damn. Why did they leave that out? That would be great.
Exactly. I don't know why. Yeah, Roddy Piper was like, oh, because they were all drinking. They were all drunk and being assholes. And Roddy Piper was just like, oh, Sean is going to be like a big thing. Marty, I don't know about you, whatever. But he's trying to rile them up and shit. And then they started fighting. And then the cops came and Macho Man came out. He talked to the cops. He said, no, this is like a storyline. They weren't really fighting for real. He got them out of being fucking arrested.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And he oh, it's all wrestling shit. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
And then he took pictures of them. They just didn't mention that is, it just was like weird that they just mentioned they had a fight. Marty beat the shit out of him. And then
that was it.
Yeah, that was it.
How do you leave a story? How do you leave Macho Man and Piper out of a story? That's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
So they just gave me that weird kind of feeling that I was like, yo, I don't know what to believe now. Is this all, you know, because certain things I don't know. That is, if I hear it in Dark Side, is that gospel? Is that real? And I don't know. It's like in YouTube. You ever seen a YouTube where, let's just say Watch Mojo, right? Shout out to Watch Mojo. But there's times where it'll be like a countdown of like certain things. But then the person who's talking, they will mispronounce a word or like a name. And you just feel like they just got somebody. There's a level of like they just got somebody to read lines. Like they didn't even know what the hell they're saying. That there's a level of they don't know the source. I don't know how to explain it, but they don't know the source material. Yeah, they don't know the source material, so they just babbling on about something and they don't even know or care. It's just weird. It's just a weird kind of dynamic that I don't know.
Yeah, it gets weird when people just over exaggerate or just embellish shit that you know you've been hearing for years, and for whatever reason they think they could just change it without anybody knowing and noticing.
Yeah, that's why I was like, that's what I appreciate about this documentary, because you see that, and who knows, maybe they twist shit around too, of course, but they did a good enough job to make me believe what I was seeing was real with the with this and that and this feud between these people, or why this guy is this way, or what happened to this person. Yeah. There's guys that like, they were like, oh, I was in TNA for X amount of years and I did this and I did Ring of Honor and it just led me here or whatever. So you see those old timers, you see the people who are like veterans who are like trying to teach the younger guys certain things. You see the younger guys that don't think they know what they're doing, but they don't.
Yeah.
The only thing I guess I would love to have learned would be more of like more of the characters, you know, because they show like only a handful of people. And like their whole story, and it's like there's certain people that is, oh, who's this guy? How come this guy got his belt? What is that belt about?
Yeah.
Like, what did he beat? What happened here? Like, he just came out and he has a belt now. Okay. What happened? Who is this guy?
You think they'll get a season two?
A part of me thinks, yeah, because they, you know, you would want to see like what happened to these guys. You know, I know one of the girls got an offer for AEW because they did this. You'll see it. Something happens where they start working with AEW, and I think somebody gets like a. I don't watch AEW, so I don't know. But like, it seems like one of the girls got like a contract.
Okay, that's dope. Yeah. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, like it's heavily recommend it. Is this, even if you don't, like Megan said, even if you don't watch wrestling, like you'll appreciate that just the documentary of something that you don't understand, and you'll get to understand why. Especially that last episode, there's a speech that she was just, like, Megan was like, yo, I love that speech because it made you think, yeah, this is what this crazy world is. And it makes you like understand it more, like instead of being like, it's fake, right? This idea, the small-minded idea that, oh, it's fake, right? It's, yeah, you're thinking of it as one small little thing, like as a sport. But in reality, it's a show. And then you start watching these, in a sense, it's like a show about a show. It's like the Muppet Show. That Al Snow points that out. It's like the Muppet Show. It's a variety show. It's he's Kermit the Frog, and he's trying to make sure that the show is going on while everyone else is like being all weird. Because every episode of the Muppets was like, "Oh, we're trying to get this show going," and like shit happens.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's
that was a perfect way to compare it to
wrestling.
Yeah, to wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, check out the documentaries on Netflix.
Yeah.
And with that, this is the end of the podcast. It's been a fun one. Giving you that weekly heat. here. We'll be coming back next week with a good one also. Keep on listening. We're going to have more stuff coming out soon. I'm working on some YouTube videos. Just takes time, but keep an eye out for that. And remember, like always, opinions are like assholes. Everyone has one. And we're just a couple of assholes with some opinions. Thanks for listening. Peace out.
Peace.